This is episode 540 on the Hidden Why podcast with Marianne Cantwell.
Welcome to the Hidden Why's 30-minute power segment. I am passionate about creating a lifestyle that minimizes suffering and regret. The purpose of life is not simply to survive, but to thrive, and I believe we do that by creating a life with greater freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Each week, I will be delivering a 30-minute conversation with a guest expert on a topic that they are knowledgeable and passionate about, with the purpose to inspire and educate us all. I don't have all the answers. I'm simply trying to figure life out. And through greater awareness and understanding, I can put into practice what I learn to further my life's progression. I can't give you your life's map. I can't show you the way, but I can assist you in discovering your why. I can help you define your life's compass to guide you purposefully to act on and pursue your life's desires. And from there, watch happiness ensue. My guests are the experts. They are the people I learn from. They provide the inspiration, education, and methodology that we can all benefit from in better navigating the ultimate life. Without further ado, let the show begin.
Today's featured guest is Marianne Cantwell. The topic is uncertainty. Marianne is a business mentor, best-selling author, and TEDx speaker, mostly known as the author of Be a Free Range Human, which has been translated into six languages. She is also the founder of Free Range Humans, an online courses and events business with 20,000 followers around the world. Marianne has been quoted and featured in publications including The Guardian, Sunday Times, Daily Mail, Glamour, Psychologies, and women business titles such as Forbes Business Week, CBS, Money Watch, and Management Today. She's featured on the podcast Founder and appeared in several books as well, such as Suffocation. This is her topic. This is Uncertainty with Marianne Cantwell. Enjoy.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Hidden Why podcast.
Yep, good to be here.
So where am I connecting to you from, Marianne?
Well, I'm in Cartagena in Colombia, and I'm sitting in an apartment that I've got until the next month, and I'm overlooking a beautiful ocean. So it's a good spot to do a podcast from.
Oh, lovely, lovely. And what brings you there?
I've been working remotely, and this is a spot I decided to come to. I've rented out my place in London for a while. So, yeah, I'm just doing some didn't work out here.
That's very cool. So you're just traveling around the world?
I am, yes.
Rad. I love it. So welcome to the Hidden Why podcast anyway, and thank you for joining me. I look forward to discussing our topic today, which is uncertainty. So define uncertainty for us, Marianne.
Well, the part of uncertainty that I'm really interested in is the way in which we are told, you know, through our school, through our education, through our work, our parents, all of these things, that the thing to strive for is to have our life direction, our businesses, all of that really neatly mapped out so that we at no point, you know what I mean, like we take a step where we're like, oh, you know, I didn't know everything about that in advance. And so uncertainty, I think for me, what I talk about, I'm like, it's anything that has an element that isn't fully defined or where we're in any transitional stage. I think it's a very powerful place to be in, but I also think it is a place that we are taught to have a lot of discomfort with, and that's why I want to talk about it.
And what is that? Why does that have importance to you? Is it something personally connected to your story?
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, I am someone who, as so many of us are, when I was growing up and all of that, I was very much a perfectionist. So, you know, I was the kid at school in Australia where I grew up. I was the kid that did really well, that I wanted everything to be really right. I'd get really upset if things I did, you know, weren't perfect. I took that with me into the adult world. And when I became my own boss, when I, after a journey, I quit my last ever job and I became my own boss, like sort of 8 years ago now, I found that that approach wasn't helpful because suddenly you can't grow or do anything in the world, whether it's being your own boss or creating something that matters or even, you know, having relationships or life decisions that are going to be meaningful, that we can't have those without embracing the what I call the forest, like as in like if you want to go on that this epic journey in your life or this walk, you have to go through this forest and you don't know what's inside. And I was bringing myself a lot of unhappiness and a lot of stuckness by constantly trying to avoid going into the forest of not having everything and not controlling everything perfectly. And so that's right. And actually, I had worked with people over the years on making these transitions, on growing their stuff. And for so many of us, if one of our superpowers is being able to be really driven or A-type personality and stuff, that's really positive. But our shadow to that is that we have a fear of uncertainty. And I believe that the real power place is where we marry our ability to be very driven and focused with understanding the power of what I call the liminal part, like the bit in the middle in any transition.
The liminal part, did you say?
Yes, liminal.
Is that a word you've created?
So liminal is a really cool word. I didn't create it. I wish I did. So I think I mentioned this to you before, Lee. I did a TED talk earlier this year called The Hidden Power of Not Always Fitting In. Uh-huh. And in that, I talk about it all hinges around this word, which is liminal, which no one's heard. And that's why I gave the talk. I was like, I want this word to be famous. And it comes from, it's used a lot in anthropology and in cultural studies, but not in self-development until now. And what it means is it's a described state where either you personally as an identity or you in where you are in your life, are on the borderlands. So maybe you have a foot in one world and a foot in another. You don't fully fit the box of what it means to, of what most people are like in your workplace, in your field, in your industry. Yeah. But the reason that I say liminal and not rebel, and the reason this is totally relevant to uncertainty, is that this isn't about being externally not fitting in. People who are liminal are very good at playing the part. We're really good at, you know, playing enough of the game, but we never fully feel like we're 100% there. And I got really curious about two things. I got super curious about how people who are at the top of their field, like the absolute top of their game in the industry, who we know we just have great. So we're really happy. Do they feel like they fit into the world that they seem to represent, right? So you've got someone on top of marketing. Do they feel they've been to that? And over time, I discovered that they don't. That the people who are at the top of their field, they who you would think, you know, have all this certainty about who they are and their identity and fit that box, they don't. Like, there's a reason.
It's just a front, is it? Right?
Yeah, it's not a front at all. No, absolutely not. It's an assumption that we make, right? So look at people like Seth Godin, top, you know, like big player in terms of talk about marketing. Yeah. He didn't get to where he is, right, by being exactly like everyone else in the field. Like, he doesn't fit the world. He's known because he doesn't fit the world. And the leaders are like that. And so that's one reason. The other reason I looked at from a perspective of why it relates to uncertainty, which I think relates to a lot of what you talk about a lot as well, is that when we're looking at finding our direction, our purpose, or even growing something that we do and making a change, there is a time that in the middle where things aren't defined, where maybe we're starting a new project, like in our business, that's a bit of a different direction, or we're taking a turn in our life, and we have this feeling we have to go from one certain thing to another certain thing as quickly as possible, right? You know that feeling, right? And it's the bit in the middle, the forest, is the liminal bit. And our society is so uncomfortable with it. So, you know, like imagine, let's talk about something not to do with business. Talk about like if someone's dating, right? Like if someone is single and dating.
Yeah.
Honestly, what do people, most people say around that? Like if you meet your great aunt at a party, what would they, the questions normally, like, it's not, you know.
Is it serious? Are you going to get married? Is she the one?
Exactly, right? Let's put it in a box. You know, if someone's single and they, you don't even know if they're dating, what's the question? Have you found yet? Are you still single? And these words, like as you said, you know, is she the one still, you're still single, or are you, you know, it's not about, are you in a great place? Are you enjoying the journey? Is this journey part of a bigger thing in your life? It is how quickly can you get through that liminal forest in the middle and fit into the stage that we think you should be be in. That's what our conversations, even when it gets to relationships, that's what it's like.
That's really now all about the expectation there.
Right, yeah, and business is the same in life. And yet, when we look at what do we make our movies about, what are the greatest books about, they're about that, and they're about uncertainty. They're about the stage in the business, because that's when our biggest breakthroughs happen, when our biggest discoveries happen. So I guess what I'm really saying in sum there is there's such power in that middle stage, and yet we try to run through it really quickly.
It seems like a bit of a catch-22 because, I mean, society has us all thinking that we're not enough and that we need to chase for more, and you know, I guess comparison and all that sort of stuff leads in as well there. But we do. We have drive. We have ambition. We all want to, you know, really perform it, and, well, most of us, I think, really do have this desire to do our best, but that piece of uncertainty really is the block to us getting there, to actually leaping forward, because it's quite scary. It's quite uncomfortable. And we fear that zone.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that zone there, that transitional zone, is what you refer to as the liminal
zone.
Right.
Yes.
I'm kind of going through that now.
Well, perfect. That's a great...
Well, I've made a decision to pack it up here. We're living in Japan with my family, and we've loved it here. We love it here. There's a lot of great things about Japan, but we're moving back to Australia for another employment opportunity there. And, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty that comes with that, obviously, or the big change, the move, et cetera, et cetera. And it is quite uncomfortable. And, you know, personally, I could just tell personally in my experience now, is that that first week when that decision was made that this is what's happening... Even the first couple of weeks, you know, there was a lot of just extra sort of pressure and stress and just uncomfortableness. I think I've sort of walked over that now and sort of just enjoying the process and just, yeah, doing what I can to enjoy each moment until I get into that new zone. And then there's going to be a lot of uncertainty getting into that new field, that new area, that new stage in our life as well. So, yeah, really important topic.
Exactly. Yeah, and great example as well, because it hits everything that we do.
So obviously uncertainty affects everyone. I don't think there's anyone that's immune to uncertainty. Would that be the case?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So when does it occur? I mean, you talked about a couple of situations, and obviously when there's a change in our life, that's when it occurs. But can it occur pretty much every day?
Yeah, absolutely. Because one of the times, as your example is perfect, is transitions, whether it's personal. The other way I think the uncertainty occurs is around identity. And that's what my TED talk was mostly about, was about this idea of being liminal as an identity, as being someone who looks like you fit, but you never 100% feel like you do, because there's always a piece of you that's secretly a little bit different. That to me, when I, because that obviously is me.
That's a really important topic too. I mean,
it's so huge, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's massive. And funnily enough, I gave that talk partly going, God, is everyone going to think, you know, am I really going to be the only one? It got viewed loads of times within the first few months, like over 100,000 people commenting and sharing, and people going, it's me. So firstly, if anyone's listening, you're not alone. Yeah. And you're not weird, because it's correlated, what I told you, that it's correlated with leadership, innovation, all these other things. So firstly, I think it comes up with identity, because we're fed this myth that there are people who fit perfectly into a world, and that your success and your happiness is predicated on being one of those people. But the more I look into it, the more I spend time with and hang out with and get grips with people who are at the top of everything that they do, those aren't the people who fit into their world. Because in order to keep innovating, pushing the boundaries, or even just adapting to the times, you don't have to be an innovator to do this, even just adapting to the times, having something to bring to the picture, your edge, your power place is going to be in your difference. So let me give you a real example here. If you're sitting there going, oh, I don't know, like, am I really like good at being an accountant, for example? I think that's my identity, but that's not really me. I'm too extroverted for that scene. You know, I'm way too sociable.
Yeah.
Well, which could totally happen. You know, there are people that there will be a part of that world, if you choose to stay in it, where that would end up being a huge strength. It might end up being that you change how you're doing what you're doing to being the extrovert that brings in more business, or to being the extrovert that brings more people together, to working with teams. If you're an introvert in, as I say, in business, if you're in a space that's full of very loud, very shiny people, and you're a sensitive introvert, you might be feeling like you have to put a front on, right? You might be like, I have to pretend to be it, right? Well, that's not going to work. But because that was you trying to mask your uncertainty about your identity by putting something on. What will work and what leads to someone becoming a leader in a space is to grasp the bit of you that's different. So maybe there's a bit of someone who is more structured in their thinking and says fewer words but says them more concisely than others. Well, look at how you can deep dive into that. Could you do that by joining up with other people who have a bigger following and you end up working with their people in a different way that makes the most of your strengths? Could you really craft your own identity around that thing that you do? If you don't do that, you keep trying to be like other people in order to get rid of the uncertainty of identity, you create more and more uncertainty you'll never get out of because you'll always be questioning who you are.
Right.
When you step into it, yeah, it's different.
That makes sense. Okay. Well, I mean, it comes to our natural state of being as well. I mean, where we have this desire, a need for a sense of belonging. Yeah.
Yes,
and
we
do. That's what it's all about, is fitting in. Like, we want to fit in, because if we don't have that sense of belonging, we lack a sense of self-importance, and that is kind of devastating to our life.
Yeah, and I would say, that, because I've been on the journey for many years, I was like, where do I fit in the world, right? I'm sure we all have, right, all of us here. And you're right, I believe that
I'm one of those guys that would go to a sporting, you know, with mates, and they're all drinking beers and watching the game of footy, and I don't like footy, you know, I don't understand it. And, you know, that's hard. That was hard for me, because I'd want to be there and be a part of it and have that sense of belonging. But at the same time, I was going, what the fuck is this? Like, I don't understand it. I don't get it. It seems wasteful for me. And there was a lot of uncomfortableness in that. Yeah, so that's just another example, perhaps.
No, I think I think that's absolutely right. And the idea that really shifted things for me was going, what if instead of my version of your example would be, right? So if I were going to a yoga class or something like super spiritual, because that's, you know, one side of me, and yet I'm really practical and business minded on the other side, I'd step into one world and I'd be like, that's me, but I hope they don't find the other side out. And then I'd go into the business world and be like, that's me, and I'm like, oh, I hope they don't see my more like woo-woo side.
So we cover that up.
My journey with it was, the thing that shifted for me was, I was like, number one, what if I just stop covering it up? But secondly, the bigger thing was, what if I'm stop looking for my identity in the places and circles that I move in, and I don't predicate my identity on fitting perfectly, but rather have it come from a place of, I am a liminal person. So liminality is my identity. And that's why I gave the talk I gave, actually, was to give, and now people take that on as their identity. So I'm a liminal person. That means I can go safely with that liminal bubble into that yoga world, into that football world, into that business world, and not rail against it, not make a point of being different just to be different. I think that's it's a very disempowering thing to do, as much as trying to fit in is. But instead say, I will have the best experience I can in that world, but not let the fact that I'm not 100% like them hit me, because the people I really chime with are my fellow liminals, people who, you know, those few friends or colleagues. I talked to one of them yesterday, a good friend of mine now, who gets that, who also moves like that between worlds. And when you can gather those together and have those conversations with people who get you, I think we stop looking for identity and we can start enjoying. You know what I mean? Like, you're not always going, oh, I have to fit in perfectly.
Yeah. You have to define this, you know, this whole idea, this whole concept that I am liminal, for me, just once again, please.
So the idea about it is that you're someone who's good at looking like you fit into different worlds, but you don't always 100% feel like you do. So the idea of liminal means being on the borderland.
So embracing that liminality.
Yeah, you're on the edge. You're on an edge of something. You're part of this and part of that. You're in trend. You're kind of on into world.
Okay, so an ability to be yourself in whatever the environment might be.
Sure, yeah.
And making a connection. Okay, right. Cool. So this is quite a harder thing to practice, I suppose, than it is to say, but how do we start practicing this? How do we move beyond that uncertainty of those situations? Because it's just so easy to go into a new business setting. I'm about to join a new group of people, and it's going to be like that, you know. How do I avoid this notion of I want to fit in, I want to, you know, be a part of the group, but I also want to be myself, because I know that's the part of me that can really drive value and innovation to this new business. And also, it's a part of me that just is more satisfied and comfortable and happy.
Yeah, agreed. I think the first thing is there's a real power in naming it, right? There's a real power in when you have that experience of going, today, you know, I want to, like, I just, you know, I'm in a meeting and my instinct is to just sort of put my head down and not say the things I want to say. The first thing is when you have that word and you know that isn't me being bad or whatever, that's me being liminal, I think it allows something to come to the picture. So the first thing I say is take the word with you, take the idea with you, and remember that it's really heavily correlated with people who make the biggest impact. So that's the first thing. Right. I think in terms of like, but that, I think that opens up a lot.
So you're using a word like liminal then?
Yeah, I would use it for yourself, like be able to have that with you. That makes sense, like you're actually carrying it with you, because I think a lot of the time when you don't name something like that, all we've got left is I'm wrong, I'm not fitting, I'm being weird, right? So we need to have a word. So I say, yeah,
to really get that inner narration that we're struggling with to, you know, focus on something that takes us away from that inner narration.
Yeah, definitely. To really hold that. And secondly, just to get, and it's probably a bigger picture piece, but in terms of your example, to get really clear, and whether it's a business or whether you're working for someone, or what it is that your, I call it your power place. Like what is your, it's probably the best way I can put it. It would be, what's the thing you can't help but do? What's the thing that you, your superpower that you really bring to any picture? And if that is the thing that's coming up, that thing wants to have a voice and it's not having it, that then to find a way to do that. So for example, if, as I said before, you are that people person and you're telling yourself everyone here is a lot more structured or a lot more quiet than me, then the temptation is to either fit that or to rail against it. And I think both, you know what I mean? Like the rebel is not a powerful position and the one who fits in is not powerful. But it's the one that goes, I'm going to respect that. I'm not going to like knock over all the introverts, but I'm going to see what can I do that will be able to bring a piece of me. Where can I see this would be helpful? Where can I create a role for this to be helpful within my environment? So it's sort of navigating the two and saying, this is the culture I'm in, yeah, right? But also I could see this would help. So seeing, does that make sense?
So how can I bring a part of what I, you know, what who I am, my self-identity, I guess, or my power, yeah, to this situation to bring benefit without letting the ego, take it beyond control, I guess?
Absolutely. Absolutely agree. Yeah. Perfect wording.
Okay. So that's a power place. Naming it, power place. What else we got?
I think those are two really good places to start. I'd say the third thing would be people. So be able to have the right conversations with people who aren't swept up in whatever, you know, paradigm it is that the world you're moving into sort of moves in. So like if you're only moving in the circle of people who think that, you know, who know all the names of the big players in that industry, who live by its rules or whatever it might be, then we get lost in it. And I see this a lot in entrepreneurship world, so different to what you're talking about, but relevant to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, in whatever entrepreneurship circle someone moves in, it's very easy to think within our bubble that is everything, that the success criteria there is everything, that the ways to success, that the business models there are the only ones. Go and talk to someone outside that bubble for 2 seconds. They don't even know those things and they don't care about them. So and I'm sure it's the same in the job world. We can really build that up in our heads. And what really, something that I've been very conscious about over the years is I spend most of my time with friends who aren't in those bubbles very consciously so that I can always bring something else to the picture, because that is when we can see a situation or a workplace, whatever, for what it is, when we're not caught up in it. So I say just be like hanging out with the right different people, maybe reading outside of your field. That's where real innovation happens, but also where our, you know, we can keep a better headspace as well. So I'd add that to the picture.
Yeah, that's a good point, valuable point too, just to really help, yeah, just shift perspectives from time to time so you don't get caught up in that whole fitting in, because that's probably common as well. Like, well, people go in with the right intention to bring a part of themselves, but slowly get molded into that culture And then, you know, forget about what they're passionate about, what their strengths are, and that then for, you know, devalues the whole situation.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Absolutely agree.
So what do you do when you're sort of almost being influenced to fit in, and, you know, you're aware of that? And I get a lot of companies, I was thinking about this the other day, like a lot of companies that I've worked for, you know, I think they often want people to bring their value to the game and be themselves. But the culture seems to work in a way that influences them not to use that, and slowly, you know, as I just said, molds them to be a certain way and forget about that. And I think that's part of the education system as well. And I think a lot of big companies are like that as well, because mm-hmm. it makes things easier to manage.
Absolutely, yeah.
How do you, what do you think it would be a good way to sort of just bring that to others' awareness, is just say, hey, look, this is what I see is happening, and you know, perhaps it's not going to be the best benefit for the company.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. How can we encourage people to, you know, not fall into that gap?
Well, I'd say this is not my power place, Lee. I don't deal with within companies for a reason, because that's not what I'm not great at being tactful.
But situation it is, it's a group of people coming together, like even entrepreneurs coming together.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we have this tendency to, for whatever it is, the others are trying to influence you to be a certain way, or you know, they'll reject you if you're not a certain way. So then you say, oh, screw it, I'm just going to have to try and fit in, or you go away and lack that sense of belonging. So, you know, there's that sort
I can talk about it from that perspective, yeah, for sure. Like, I've seen that very much at play. And in my TED talk, I talk about this idea called creating your own island, and how what we're taught is that exactly what you say. You know, you're moving in social circles, work, entrepreneurship, whatever, and you're taught that the way to be successful and fit is to find what I call a continent. So it might be a continent that is that group of people in your industry, those entrepreneurs or this, and that continent already exists. And we're told to find one that's similar to us and fit that. But if you look at anyone who's actually happy and really leading something and thriving what they do, they haven't done that. What they've done is they've created an island. And that metaphor is very practical, because what it means is it's firstly a very powerful thing to do, is to say, you know, I will take the best out of the conversations that are going on here, but I'm ultimately going to play things slightly differently. I'm going to take, you know, 75% of the ideas, but I'm going to do them with this twist, because that is right for where I am or where my business is or where what I can see works best for me. Now, what happens when you do that? If you're at the very beginning of what you're doing, then I would suggest that if you did that with a bunch of other people who are at the very beginning of what they're doing, you would be told that there's no, you know, you're doing it all wrong. And so I wouldn't be hanging out with them. That would be my first thing, because something magic happens, right? When you actually do it, when you actually, you know, try out a business model that maybe you got from a different industry, but you're bringing to yours, and no one's, you know, 100% done that before, but you know it would work. Once it works, you lead that island. Suddenly people are turning to you. I've seen it so many times, and they're suddenly like, how did they do that? You know, what process did they use to do that? So I would say, if you're hanging out with people who are like that, then I wouldn't prioritize that time. Find people who are on your wavelength, do your thing, because the way that we fit in the best is when we have that, we've already done something that has proved our worth in some way, and then we attract the right people around us.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Look, there's a lot of extra stuff that we could unpack about this topic. It's a really important one. It's huge. It's absolutely huge. And I applaud you for going into this research and doing what you do, because I think it's a really important one to help people really just be themselves, be their vulnerable selves, and certainly something that I struggle with. I think we all do. So, yeah, I'd like to encourage people to check out your TED Talk and check out your website as well. So I'll stick the links in the show notes at thehiddenwide.com. Is there anything else you'd like to suggest, Marianne?
I think just the final thing I'd say is just to remember that the way we're told that we can be successful and happy and that we should be living our lives is when you hear people talk about it in a very linear way, in a very black and white, are you there yet? Are you doing it by these tick box rules? Often those stories are just told in that way because it's an easier narrative for people to get their head around, right? Yeah. It's easy for someone to give that advice because, you know, their parents told them that, someone else told them that. So the first thing I would say is, one, only take advice on a topic from people who are where you would like to be with that, not from people who aren't. And the second thing I would say is to realize that the way the world works, the way that we work as humans, is more liminal, that when we are thriving, we do have a foot in a few places, that the best ideas come from something that comes from another field, not from someone who did exactly what everyone else did. And to really start to question the idea that success and happiness is predicated, you know, on us following things in that way, because when we look at it realistically and look at what actually happens, things are very different. So that's what I'd say. Just say to have a little bit of, get a bit of, be a bit of a detective and get curious about how things really work at a, in a very, the very top levels. And that can give us a lot more freedom if we're people who are drawn to that way of thinking in the first place.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. I think it's, you know, it's good to have goals and visions of where you want to go in life, but don't attach yourself to those expectations. And just, you know, try and figure ways to enjoy that journey, as you say, curiously and with ambition and with yourself as you wish to take that journey. And I don't think there is any finality in our goals and where we need to be. And I think that's the problem. We think there needs to be some sort of finality, some sort of closure. But I don't think that's what life's all about. I think it's ever going and it's progressive. And I think that's what brings the great beauty to this life.
So, agreed.
I love it. I think, I love your work. So thank you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Great to chat. Thanks, Lee.
Guys, check it all out at thehiddenwhy.com. We'll stick all the links in the show notes. Connect with Marianne is there as well. And say thanks for coming on the show. So thank you, and we'll talk soon. Until next time.
All right.
Passion and purpose. See you soon. Thank you for tuning in and listening to today's conversation. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you've been able to take something away, something to help you create a more meaningful life, a life with greater freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Guys, if you love the content that I produce here at The Hidden Why, there are a few ways you can support me. Firstly, connect with me. You can do so in a number of different ways. You can connect with me online at thehiddenwhy.com or via social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc. I would love to hear from you guys. I would love to connect with you. If you've got any thoughts, comments, feedback, suggestions, or anything at all that you'd like to ask me, you can reach me at thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com. While you're there, guys, make sure you subscribe to thehiddenwhy.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you can be kept up to date with all the new episodes and happenings here at The Hidden Why. If you love what you heard in this episode, guys, or any of the others, please share the love. Share it with your family, friends, and anyone you think that might get some value. If you haven't already done so, you can also leave me a review on iTunes. Simply head over to iTunes, type in The Hidden Why, click the ratings and reviews button, and leave me a short message plus a 1 to 5 star rating. It helps me reach more people. Once again, guys, I appreciate the time you've taken out of your day to support my show. Until next time, you know what to do. Breathe more passion into every single moment. Do everything with greater purpose, and in doing so, you will discover your hidden why. This is The Hidden Why Podcast. My name is Lee Mundelsey. Until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon.